In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to start this morning by going on the record and saying so that you all know, I think actually Doubting Thomas may have been the first Episcopalian. I've not seen it in the record, but I suspect that might be the case. Think what it must have been for this to happen to the disciples. Jesus has been killed. Everything is wiped out. People are slinking away so they themselves won't be killed. And all of a sudden, Jesus not only appears once, he keeps coming back again and again to his disciples. It's almost as if he's not ready to leave, and I really believe that. He loved those disciples, and it's almost like the Father had to say to him, time to come home now. No, time to come home now. And he finally tears himself away from them. Well, if that's how deeply he felt, imagine how they felt. Their whole world is turned upside down. And it's almost impossible for them to understand what's happening to them. Now, let's go over the obvious just for a second. When Jesus was alive, he was their leader, their guru. He was their father. He was their advisor. He was the one who settled arguments, and you can read about that in the Gospels. He was the one who found places for them to stay when they were traveling. He was the one who found a place where they could meet. He was the one who found the food, and he was the one to whom people gave money secretly because they wanted Jesus to flourish and to confront the Sanhedrin. So Jesus for them was everything. Well, in the real world, when somebody to you is everything, you become dependent upon them. And therefore, when that person is taken away, it can be really shocking. So it's not just that you don't know what to do, because you kind of know that. It's that your whole role in life has changed. So for the disciples, it's really confusing. And if anybody thinks that the giving of the Holy Spirit is equal to the taking away of Christ, guess what? One doesn't seem to equal the other one in this world. The Holy Spirit almost never explains what it's doing. Have you noticed? But what the Holy Spirit does do is sort of whisper in your ear about what you should do next. And then if you don't pay attention, the Holy Spirit will literally shove you into the next room saying, hi, guess what? This is an opportunity. But the Holy Spirit, certainly from our point of view, is not experientially the same as having Jesus with us. It's just not quite the same. And so it meant that things had to change. In my own life, let me give you just sort of a small example. I was the youngest of three children. I came quite a bit later. I don't think I was planned. But the family adopted pretty well to somebody, a kid coming along 10 years after the next sibling. So it goes without saying that I was spoiled. Okay, I admit that. It made life harder for Kathy, but there you go. But within a 5-year span, my brother, my sister, and my mother died. My dad had died before. And so it wasn't, my mother's death wasn't unexpected. She was 86 and her quality of life was terrible. So it was a blessing in a way, but it was still a shock. And I remember after we got through the funeral and through the service and started the inevitable probate and all of that stuff, it struck me that I was now not just the only person, I was the oldest person of anyone related to me. And all of a sudden I felt like, well, wait a minute, this means I have to be the adult. It also meant that my version of all the family stories was correct. But it took me a while to adjust to all of a sudden being older. It wasn't that I was physically older. It was that I had moved up on that escalator that we're all part of. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, before I say that, let me think what I should say as an adult. I was in my 30s. Being an adult should have been something that happened to me. But somehow I had to catch up with that. And you've probably gone through things much like that as your parents have passed on. Okay? This is what the disciples were facing. They had a new challenge. And it's not only when the older generation goes that we have to step up. It can also happen to us when we're new parents. I learned this secondhand because I don't have any children, but when you talk to new parents, and Amy, you might have felt the same way, all of a sudden you had to be an adult in a way that maybe you hadn't had to be before. Nod now, nod yes, that's good, good, yeah. So there are times when the people who are older than we are pass on. There are times when children come into our lives. And in both cases, we have a situation where we have to grow up. And the disciples were a situation where they had to grow up. Now, this isn't fair, but if there are people new to the congregation this morning, bear with me, okay? I have an assumption, which is that most of the people who come the Sunday after Easter are the core people, okay? Thank you for being here, by the way. You get extra credit for coming, okay? So let's talk about being core members. At some point when you came into this congregation or an earlier congregation elsewhere, some adult older member greeted you. And I'll bet that's true because that's one of the prime indicators of people staying. It's being welcomed. Well, now the Holy Spirit has chosen to give us a gift. And like any gift, it's a challenge as well. And Amy brought it. Okay? And Amy and Vicky work very hard to make this place friendly to children. And it may not be quite as apparent at 8 o'clock, but trust me, it's every place else on campus, and it's happening all the rest of the time, and it is a gift to this parish. Let me tell you why I'm really sensitive to that. My last church was in the deep, dark center of Seattle. Okay? Wonderful place. But Seattle, like San Francisco, are the two places on the West Coast with the least number of children per population. Okay? We had no children in our church. And it was a source of constant mourning that we never talked about, because after all, we're Episcopalians. But we were always mourning the lack of children. Okay? Now, we had babies. We had a nursery. We had kids who were out of college who were, you know, going into the inner city and having fun. They hadn't married yet. We had empty nesters. And we had the whole range of people, except we didn't have any kids. We didn't have a Sunday school because there wasn't anybody to be in it. So we always mourned and felt a little bit guilty. They weren't there. So when Kathy and I first came here, there were some children, but not too many. And now they're everywhere. Well, this means that there's a generation of people who are here on the Sunday after Easter who are probably either core people or about to be. I see a couple that's really about to be a core people. They don't know it yet. Maybe they do. Yes, you. And this presents us with an opportunity to be those children's adults, to be those children's sponsors, to be those young couple's friends. This presents us with an opportunity we may really not have had. Now, every opportunity is a challenge, okay? And I'm now old enough to have run into my challenge with all of this. Am I the only one here who has trifocals? I don't think so, okay? Now that you don't have lines in them, you kind of can pretend, oh no, these are just reading glasses. I just wear them all the time. And what I've learned is that if I want to see something, I kind of move my head so that it's in the right place. Again, follow along if this may remind you of your glasses. And so there are days when all those children moving around are foggy to me, okay? And my biggest fear is I'm going to step on one or two of them. That's a challenge, I guess. But the more serious challenge is the one that the disciples faced and the church has faced all along. It's the Holy Spirit bringing us new things. It's the new opportunities, the new challenges, the new changes that happen. And so I give thanks today for Amy, for Vicky, for your family, for children. I have to tell you, one of the most moving things for me, and I love this, I also love that it's under supervision. At the 10 o'clock, you know that once a month, often the youngsters hand out communion with the priest hovering right behind them, okay? There are zero defects here. And I almost want to cry when that happens, because it's the next generation of Christians. It's the next generation who are following the apostles. It's taking our place, as I see that, in that long march of the generations. By the way, I think since I firmly believe in a communion of saints, and I think it's on this side of death and on the other side, I think my mother is laughing at me so hard, okay? Because she knows how much I was the selfish child. And now, once again, it's my turn to grow up. And yours. Amen.